Well, thank you. Is that on?
Yeah.
Done. Good morning to you all. And it's always a privilege to be able to share with you the Word of God or what the Lord has been putting on my heart. And for me, it's been over the last month or so, because we weren't here last week, but Ken, when he shared from Revelation, you've talked about end times, and you got quite excited about it. You should get excited about it, especially if you're born again and saved, yes. But it was listening to him, and then Andrew was sharing on Romans 8 with Mike, and it was just the very first verse that actually caught my mind. And I looked at this, and I thought, you know, the Lord is very serious about himself, about his word, about our salvation. He is a very serious God. Is he a loving God? Yes, of course he is. But we mustn't forget that he's also a God of righteousness, a God who cannot accept sin. So we have two sides of a coin, if you want to put it another way. On one side of the coin is grace, mercy, and love. On the other side is the righteousness of God, the judgment that will come, and the wrath or the hatred he has of sin. On the other side of the coin, still the same coin. And what happens is a lot of us, hopefully not us here, but a lot of churches forget about the fear of the Lord. They forget about the fact there is a time of righteous judgment that will come upon the earth. Now, it's a lot of scriptures that maybe a lot of churches don't like to share, because people don't like to talk about hell. They don't like to talk about the fact that God will judge us for our sins and the way we live. But if I could just go back, one step back, if I may, please. And go back to Romans 8, when Mike and Andrew were sharing. Yes, I did remember. I'll just read it to you. There's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And for me, there's an obvious choice. He's talking to the church now. He's not talking to outside people. He's talking to people, the Christians, the born-again believers in the church. So why is he talking about this? Because obviously all of us have that choice to walk in the Spirit or to walk in the flesh. And one of the things that I find is that we can become, I think, quite carnal. So if I could read verse 6 here, it says, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." And looking at the scripture, and Paul speaks to the church often about this walking in the flesh, walking in the Spirit. And I think it's very easy for us to slip into this carnal mindedness, to walk in the flesh. We allow our emotions to take over, and we look at the world, we look at the bank balance, and you look at what's going on. It's easy to take your mind off of the Lord and put it where he doesn't want it to be, where we think it's important, which it's not. And in Revelation 3:3, he tells us to hold fast. In fact, let me read that. If you've got your Bibles with you, is to move to Revelation. It's the very end book, if you haven't been there before. And Revelation 3:3. It says, "Remember therefore how you have received and heard. Hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you." And it got me to thinking, and these are things that we need to give some considered thought to. And very simply, am I in the right place? Am I walking in the flesh, or am I walking in the Spirit? Paul in Corinthians, when he talks about sharing the wine and the bread, the table of the Lord, he says, examine yourself. And we need to examine ourselves. Where are we? Are we in the place of the Spirit? Are we allowing the Lord to change us, to bring us to a place where we are meaningful, obedient servants? We're not always obedient. I must admit that the Lord speaks sometimes, and you Yeah. He does ask you to do things. But you know, one thing I have learned is there are some things that we consider are in disaster, but the Lord means them for our good, to build us, to bring us to that place where He can use us as servants. And you know, the Lord says He will come at an hour unknown. An hour unknown. In other words, He will come as a thief. I'm not saying He is a thief. He will come like a thief when you don't expect it. So my question to you this morning is, are you ready? Am I ready? Because this question is directed at myself, not just everybody here, but to myself. Am I ready? Am I prepared for the Lord's return? Okay, I don't want to scare you, but you do need to be ready, because we've been saved, we've been called, we've been chosen, we've been brought into the kingdom of God, and we need to remain in that kingdom. In Revelation it says, hold fast to what you have. You know, Paul often mentions it. He says, hold fast to what you have already understood and learned. Not what you haven't learned or understood. It's like giving. Do you give out of what you don't have, or do you give out of what you do have? And that is the way we're required to live, this understanding that the Lord has given us, the revelation that we have. And I'd like to read to you from Matthew 28. Let me just... It's something in the I found, not in this church. Praise the Lord. Thank you. And that is, do we fear the Lord? Do we have that righteous fear of the Lord? I'm not talking about being scared, you know, like thunder and things like that. But do you have a fear of the Lord, that righteous fear that you will be called to stand before His judgment seat one day? Does that ever trouble you? Because one should seriously consider it. Because there are times I wake up in the morning and maybe I'm not where I should be with the Lord. And it does, I do reflect on it. I do meditate on saying, Lord, am I in the right place with You? And we need to bring ourselves before Him, because He's a God of forgiveness. He's a God of grace, and He loves us. And that is a time where we can come before Him, and we know that He's faithful to us. And so if I can read to you from Matthew 28. Where am I? Matthew 28. Matthew 28, verse 10. It says, I've got the wrong reading here, guys. Forgive me. Get the right one, shall we? But going back to, I have the wrong reading there. Not for now, it's for a bit later on. And as I say, the church today, I believe, is not taught, doesn't understand to fear the Lord. And the thing is, we need to understand that God has no partiality. He doesn't favor anyone. So when the judgment day comes, we'll stand on who we are and what we've done. And we can only stand in the righteousness that Jesus has given us. You know, we cannot pretend that He accepts sins. We cannot walk in the flesh and believe that God will accept us. You know, we need to understand that He will bring judgment on us. But are we really prepared for the Lord's return? And I bring this to you, not that it's all gloom and doom, please, because we have been called, we've been saved. We have a get out of jail free card, if you want to put it that way. And the thing is a lot of people don't understand that just because you're saved, you're not sanctified. There is a journey that the Lord wants us to continue on. And we are called to live holy lives. We are called to live righteous lives. And now, for me, I know my own life. To do that in my own strength, I am not capable. I cannot do it. And I've tried it. I go back many years where I would consider myself to be extremely self-righteous, arrogant, and the Lord certainly put me right. And I'm talking about the actions, the religious side of you that comes out and tries to get you to live a life that is actually not what your heart is. In other words, it's a facade. It's your, what do you call it? It's an image that you portray. But inside, in here, is not right. Because you're trying to live what you're not. You're living a lie. And We are saved. We're called to live holy lives. If we look at 1 Peter 1, I'll read that for you. If we look at 1 Peter 1, verse 3 to 6. If I'm going to read from 1 Peter 1, verses 3 to 6. I do have the right one this time, I hope. Right. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to inheritance that is incorruptible, undefiled, that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. We are purchased by his blood. We've been brought near by his sacrifice. We cannot do it in our own strength. The Lord has done it for us. But yet sometimes we don't bother about that. We think we can still do it ourselves, and we cannot. And you know, when we look at 1 Peter 1 verse 17, I'll just read that for you again. And it said, if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. We've been called, we've been born again, we've been saved. And when you read that script, you understand that we can't just be saved and that's it. There is a need for us to hold on to the salvation that the Lord has given us. I hesitate to use the word, to work at it, to spend time in it, to be able to be able to understand what God actually wants for us. And we need to be very careful that we do continue to live this life that the Lord wants us to live. This is a holy life, a righteous life. But again, I'll come back to it. We cannot do it in our own strength. But in Romans 11:22, he writes, sorry, I'm going ahead of you guys, so don't worry about that, Mike. Romans 11:22 is a scripture that came to mind. It says, and he's talking about when the Israelites in the desert, and they didn't believe him, and he rejected them. He put them aside, and he was talking about the branches in the tree and the fact that we are branches that have been grafted in to the tree. But the fact is that he writes here, hold on, let me just make sure I'm in the right place here again. In verse 22, it says, therefore consider the goodness and severity of God on those who fell, severity, but towards you, goodness, if you continue in his goodness. Otherwise, you also will be cut off. Now that scripture, you don't often hear that scripture read, because it's a challenge to you that says you can't just be saved and stay as you are. Andrew has a saying, he says, you can come as you are, but you cannot stay as you are. And when you enter the kingdom of God, you can come as you are. He wants you to come as you are with all the scars and warts and issues that you have. But you cannot stay as you are. You've got to allow the Lord to change your heart. You've got to allow him into your system to allow you to bring you to that place of maturity where you are servants who are fitting for use. And we are called to live these holy lives. You know, we've been purchased by the blood. And we read from 1 Peter 1:17 that we have been bought by the blood. But we can, in fact, be cut off. If we leave it alone and we don't follow what the Lord wants. So live that holy and righteous life. So I'm asking you in verse 25 of verse 11, verse 25, and this is just a preview. It says, I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own opinion, that blindness in part has happened in Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. Again, he's saying to you, careful. We need to understand that there is this requirement from us to stay where the Lord wants us to be. We can't just live our own lives in the flesh without being sensitive to the fact that we risk being cut out of the system. Now, there are a lot of people who believe that once saved, always saved, and then live their lives as they want. But I believe that we will be called to account for it. I'm not wanting to condemn anybody, please, because the Lord has given us a way out. He's given us Jesus, who's died on the cross, who's brought us that place through his blood, where we have access to the Father. You know, with the verse 25, it says, do not be ignorant. And there are many preachers out there who preach that you don't actually have to even be born again, but you're still going to go to heaven. And you in the scripture, it's very, very clear. It says, unless a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. But once you've entered the kingdom of heaven, you can't just carry on with your old life, the old fleshy life, the carnal life. You cannot continue with that. You've got to allow the Lord into your heart to change you, to bring you to that place. And we need to know, I think for me, a lot of the scripture that the Lord has. And I just want to read to you a couple of scriptures. I normally like to read a lot of scripture. Andrew puts them on the board, but I have to read them because I haven't worked out technically how to do it. That's right. Hebrews 4. I just want to read to you from Hebrews 4. And in Hebrews 4, verses 11 to 16, and we did actually sing some of this before. Hebrews 4, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. But the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. For we who have believed do enter that rest as he has sweared, as said. You know, we've got these promises. Do we know the promises, God? And another reading I'd like to read to you from 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 2. And he says here, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. So when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in the darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. And the Lord calls us to be watchful. He calls us to be sober. He calls us to be ready. And when we look at, if we go back to where Hebrews was, and we sang it earlier on, actually, and that is in Hebrews 4. Where am I? It says here, verse 14. And this is something I'm trying to put across, is that we're in this situation, but we are not alone. We have got to let the Lord change us to bring us to that place of growing, maturing, but only we can do it in his name. We cannot do it in our own strength. But we struggle with this. I don't know about you, but I do struggle. And what we've got to look at is who takes us out of that struggle. And that's verse 40. Seeing that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and grace to help in time of need. And he says there to hold fast. We're called to hold on to what we have. And the other thing is that the Lord is building his church. The Lord has got a plan and a purpose for our church. He is building his church, but he's building it his way. Not the way we may have thought in the past or what man says we should do. He wants to build a church. And I'm seeing the Lord beginning to move here. I'm seeing the Lord wanting to do something. But what he wants is a people who are ready and prepared to serve him. And you know, we we have lots of reasons not to serve him. And in Matthew 22, there's the parable or the story of the wedding feast. And at the wedding feast, The Lord says, go out, he says to his servants, go out and call all those who are invited. And everyone that he went to, or the servants went to, said, no, no, I'm busy, I've got a new wife I've got to look after. No, I've got a new herd of cattle, I can't spend the time. No, my crop's in the ground, I can't leave you just now. Yeah, my bank balance is a bit low, I've got to work an extra 20 hours this week. And on and on and on. And my house needs maintenance, so I've got to spend time fixing it. And I'm sure you've all understood these excuses from other people. You've never used them yourself, possibly. But it's something we need to be very careful of, because we can get caught up in the world in where we live. And we're not talking about fancy stuff. We're talking about the practicalities of where we live, the little things that we get caught up in. Oh, no, the wife, she's going shopping today. I'm going to stay at home and look after the dog. And you don't have a dog, yes, that's all. But you understand what I'm saying. It's so easy to give excuses when the Lord calls us. And we get led astray. And readiness and preparedness is an attitude of the heart. It's something that you need to allow to take place in your life. It's a Romans 12. It says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's an attitudinal thing. We've got to allow the Lord to work in our hearts to give us that attitude. And are we available when he calls? Okay, sorry, let me go back a step. Are we actually listening for when the Lord calls for us to do something? Are we ready? Are we available? Are we prepared for when the Lord calls us? We can be ready but not prepared. You all understand that. And I'm not going to look at anybody here, but sometimes when you're packing to go, everything's packed, and you say, okay, let's go. Well, hold on, no, no, sorry, I've just got to go and pack my toothbrush, my hairbrush, and I need to just do a few things there. That's not you. No. But you understand what I'm saying. We can be ready, but not actually prepared. So we're blessed. You're going camping, for example, and we haven't done this in the last 30 or 40 years, so we're okay. But traditionally, you go camping and you forget to take your sleeping bag. You forget to take your cooker. You forget to take food. You understand what I'm saying? You can be ready, but not actually prepared for where you're going. And we need to be careful that we are not like that. You know, in 2 Timothy 4:2, Paul speaks to Timothy and says, preach the gospel. Be prepared in season and out of season. And there are times when we actually don't really feel like serving the Lord when he calls. I'm not actually in the mood. You know, and you know, I'm saying this because I've been there. But we mustn't be there. We must understand that when the Lord calls us, we need to be available. And you know, it's easy to say, I just don't feel up to it today. I don't feel, it's not on my heart. I don't know if you've ever heard that expression. We come out of an environment where people who didn't want to do something say, it's not on my heart. You know, it's not on your heart, but it is on the Lord's heart, so get to it, you know. And the other thing is that we do need to be careful, and Mike actually brought this up the other day, is that we sometimes look for this supernatural move before we do something for God. There's got to be literally the angel standing at the door with a bolt of lightning saying, go do this. And you know, that doesn't happen very often. You know, the lightning doesn't come often. The miracles don't happen often. Yes, they do. Don't misunderstand me. And the Lord can speak to you with a bolt of lightning. And that's probably because you haven't been listening for the last couple of years. But at the same time, we need to be in a place of being available to him and listening. You know, we have a look at... We are called to deny ourselves. We are called to pick up our cross. We're called to follow Jesus every day, not just when we feel like it. And picking up the cross is something that we as Christians, as born-again believers, need to understand that is what the Lord wants of us. He doesn't push. He doesn't shove. He offers it to you. It's a gift. And he offers it to you. And we need to be careful that we don't walk away from that. And I just want to point out two examples of the attitude that we should have. In Acts 9:10, there's a verse we have. Okay. Acts 9:10 is the story of Ananias. When Paul is now met with Jesus on the road to Damascus, and he's blind. And the Lord, interested, says, Ananias, he goes, here I am. There's no pause, there's no, hold on, I'll get back to you on that one. He says, here I am. And the Lord tells him what he wants. Now he doesn't argue, he says, but you know, Lord, are you sure about this? You know, this is a dangerous guy. And the Lord says, no, go. And Ananias goes. You know, so I would suggest that Ananias had some serious fear. When I say fear, there was some trepidation, some nervousness. I don't know about fear, but he would have been a little bit nervous, praying in tongues all the way there, because he knew who Paul was, or Saul was. But the Lord said, Ananias, he said, here I am. And it's an attitude we need to have when the Lord calls us. The other one is, when we have a look at Exodus chapter 3, when the Lord calls Moses. He calls Moses. And what does Moses answer? Here I am. Then he explains to him what he wants him to do. And you know there's a long discussion with the Lord from Moses as to exactly why he couldn't do it. But the interesting thing, and that we need to all understand, is the attitude that both those men had was, here I am. When the Lord called, they were listening, they were available. Do we have the same attitude? Do we have the same breath? Do we have the same desire to answer the Lord when he calls us? Because it's sometimes a still, small voice. It's not the bolt of lightning. Most of the times it's that still, small voice. And if you're not listening, you won't hear it. Maybe you don't want to listen. Because quite often, when the Lord asks us to do things, it's things that we are not capable of. We think we aren't. Or we're not suited for. I didn't go to Bible school. Or I didn't go to that. I didn't attend that guy's sermon. So no, I don't understand that part of it. No, all sorts of excuses that we can come up with. And we can actually have a situation where we don't obey the Lord. Because if we're asked to do something we're not very good at, the one thing that gets in our way is pride. Well, I can't do that very well. I can't do that very well. And it stops us doing what the Lord wants. Because we need to remember that whatever the Lord gives you to do, he will sustain you. He will never give you something to do and not give you the strength, the grace, the understanding to carry that situation out, or whatever that task may be. But we incline to have pride, and we need to humble ourselves. When we come to serve the Lord, we do need to humble ourselves. We need to come to that place of submitting to what he wants. Do we look for all the big things to do? Or are we prepared to do whatever menial task he puts before us? So, I don't have to ask you to the question, but so the Lord says, okay, I need you. The cleaner hasn't arrived here. I need you in the loos to go clean them all out. Do you go, yes, Lord, no problem? Or do you go, but hold on, no, I haven't got my gloves. No, but I can go, I haven't been trained for that. I don't have a certificate. No. You understand what I'm trying to say here? We need to be available for the little menial task. Whatever he puts in front of us, that's where we need to go. And we need to be in a place of obeying, because we don't understand God's plan. If you do, please let me know, because I'm still trying to find out. But it's not a matter about understanding it. It's about understanding it from the Lord and to obey him, because he does have a plan. He does have a purpose for my life, for your life, for the life of each and every person here, for the life of our church. He has a plan and a purpose. And we need to be careful that we don't lose out on that. And so I'd like to have a look at a few things here. And that is, are we prepared? We may be ready, but are we prepared for what the Lord wants of us? When I say prepared, I'm talking about praying. I'm talking about, I know I bring this up often, but are we reading? Are we praying? Are we in a place of fellowship? Are we in a place of studying where we say, Lord, show me. I need to understand more. Because there are times when you are going to need a little bit of scripture. Now, I'm not saying you all need to be absolutely perfect, not like my brother over there whose memory verses are phenomenal. So you didn't mind me pointing that out. What's next time I ask him, never mind. But you don't all need to have every single memory verse in you, but you do need to know the promises of God. You need to know what his word is. You need to know what he's saying and what his promises are. Because he's promised. He is faithful. We've over the years, I know many of you here, you know the faithfulness of the Lord. And we need to be prepared by making sure that we know what we're talking about. In Ephesians 6, when he talks about putting on the armor of God. The interesting thing about putting on the armor of God, who puts on the armor of God? Does the Lord do it for you? Who does it? You do. So the Lord has put everything in place for us. He saved us. He sanctified. We've got everything we need, the grace and the love and the mercy that we need. But we need to do something about it. Like the armor. We need to put that armor on. We need to actually get dressed in it. And as one pastor I heard said, you need to sleep in it as well. I've never slept in armor, but you understand what I'm saying. It's that visual image of putting on the armor of God and keeping it on. But it says we need to be shod with the gospel of peace. What is it? We need to understand the scripture, because we need to have that gospel that we are shod with it. We can stand, because we're going to get challenged. We do need to do some work. And also we need to put on that that armor. God has given us everything for this. And quite often we think we're on our own. But in John, where he speaks of John 14, I think, he speaks and says, I will not leave you as orphans. You know, he speaks of the Holy Spirit. We've got the Holy Spirit. We need to come to the place of relying on God. When he asks us to do something, we say, yes, Lord. And then rely on him to put it in place. If we had to sit and question it all, say, Lord, no, I'm not ready for this, we're not going to go anywhere. There are things that we're all being challenged to do, and I believe the Lord is going to be challenging all of us more and more in the future to do things we're not used to. Okay? And you've got to just accept it and say, Lord, yes, I accept. Show me. Give me the strength. Give me the grace. You know, Paul himself says, when he was arguing about, not arguing, but talking about his problems, and the Lord said, no, my grace is sufficient for you. We don't need anything else except the grace of the Lord. And that allowed him to continue. He says, my strength is made great in your weakness. So the Lord doesn't want you strong, because when you're strong, the Lord cannot work in your life. He needs you to be in that place of submission, of humility and weakness, to say, Lord, you must do this. And that was what Paul is trying to say to us. We need to be walking in his strength, not ours. And it's in our weakness that the Lord's strength is evident. That's why he says, I've called the weak of this world to confound the wise. And he certainly got it right with me anyway. But Philippians 4:13, he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We're in that place where we can do these things that the Lord is putting in front of us. And in Hebrews 4:14, you know, the Lord says there's this mercy for us. We can come before the Lord freely. We've been given that free access to come before him. And in Ephesians 3:20, the Lord says that he is just so much more for us. We haven't even scratched the surface. We are not aware of the bounty that the Lord has. He says he's got a storehouse full of it. All we've got to do is submit to him and ask for it. And the Lord will supply us. We honestly don't know. It's beyond our understanding and imagination what the Lord has for us, what he can do for us, what he will do for us. And so in closing, I saw Mike looking at his watch. In closing, 2 Corinthians 9:6, he talks about if you sow sparingly, you will reap sparingly. And when we think about that, we need to submit to what the Lord wants of us, to do those things he wants. Because in the sowing, when we prepare to sow, there will be a harvest. There will be a reaping. And it's in that reaping that the blessings come. The blessings don't come first. Maybe the blessings never really do come in until such time as you finish doing what the Lord wants you to do. You know, in Luke, he says, does a servant come in after working in the fields? Does a servant come in and sit with his master and go, yeah, let's have dinner together? No. The servant comes in, serves his master. Then when he's finished, he sits down and has his dinner. You understand, there's an attitude here of humility where we are called to serve. And really, unless we have an attitude of being ready and prepared to serve the Lord, we will lose out. We will, when I say lose out, we will lose out on what the Lord has for us. And I don't want to lose out. I don't want to be, I hesitate to use the word left behind. I don't want to be left to one side. I want to be where the Lord wants me to be. And I want that for all of us. And it's what the Lord requires of us, wants from us. So this morning, I just ask you to consider listening and being ready for where the Lord calls us. Yes, here I am. It does mean putting aside your life. But it says, unless you lose your life, you'll not gain it. And so I want to encourage you to give some thought to those scriptures. Give some thought to what the Lord wants of us. Because He is building He is building His body. He is building His church. But He's building it His way. And I want to be in that place where He builds it. We've tried this before in our own strength, and it never works. But if it's from the Lord, it works. And I believe the Spirit of the Lord is here in our church, and He's leading us to a place where it's going to get exciting. Tough, but exciting. Amen. Heavenly Father, we just thank You for today. Thank You, Lord, for Your word. Thank You, Lord, that You do call on us as servants to serve You, Lord. Lord, help us to have the attitude of heart. Help us to have the desire, Lord, to answer yes when You call us, Lord. And not to question or argue, Lord, but to say yes and allow You to direct us. Even, Lord, when we're not capable. We think we're not capable. Lord, I know that You will sustain us. You will empower us. You will give us the strength and the grace to do what it is that You require of us. So I thank You, Lord. Thank You for Your grace. Thank You for Your mercy. Thank You for Your love. We praise You. We worship You. We glorify You. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank You, Lord. As it's good, I think, isn't it, to be encouraged and challenged. I think I don't normally speak on the end of someone else's sermon very often, but because of God's blessing, I'm getting the opportunity to speak less and less. But the truth is this, you can speak to anybody, certainly anybody here, and they'll say, well, I'd rather not, but God said. I don't feel confident, but God said. And there's the difference, isn't it? You know, I make excuses. I'm not qualified for it. I can't read very well. I can't write. I certainly can't go to college. But because You said. And as we are obedient to when God says, He will give us what we need when we need it. And I want to say to us as a church that I truly believe that there's a foundation that's been built in and amongst us. Us here and those that are not with us today. I truly believe that the foundation. I truly believe that all of us at one time or another have been shaken and we've been moved. But our knees have not given way because we've been built on a firm foundation. I believe that God has called us to be a body. Both myself and Arthur, when we speak, we talk about the blessings that we have in our fellowship, where we are told to leave the kitchen because someone else wants to do the work, that there's other people willing to step in the gap. So in the encouragement of this word that's been brought this morning, just remember that when God says it, He will give us what we need to accomplish it. So before we sing our final hymn, there are some plants that have been spoken to lovingly, whispered to, and they've grown lovely, so you can take them home and continue to pray over them. They're free of charge. Simon has brought them so that you can be blessed. To say to us as a church, those that have been born of God's Spirit, we are safe in our salvation, but God will give us an opportunity to be held accountable for the things we do and the things we don't do. So let's ask Him afresh as we worship Him. Lord, here I am. Use me. Send me. Enable me. Equip me. Bless me. Provide for me that I can be all that You've called me to be. Amen.